do. Let's do this. Let's pray, and then let's dive into the Word of God tonight. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you, God, for what you're doing in the service tonight, God. I thank you, Lord, for what you've already started to do, God. And I thank you, God, that you're going to continue to work in the hearts of every individual that's here tonight. I thank you, Father, for all those who came to the altar tonight, God, that you healed their bodies, God. You set their minds free tonight, Lord. I thank you that we have a place we can go to allow these things to happen, God. You move, Father, the way you move in this church, Father, and the way you move in people's lives. So, Lord, I commit this night to you, God. And I thank you, God, for the word that you got to go forth, God. I ask, Lord, that you would anoint it, God, and you would bless it, God, and you would use it, God, to build your church and build your people and your kingdom. So, Father, I thank you right now. And I pray for all the churches all over the Inland Empire, God, that are having church, or all over the world that are having church. Bless them, God, the same way you bless us. In Jesus' name, we all said, amen. Well, I'm going to jump right into the Word of God tonight. If you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to go with me to Philippians chapter 3. We're going to hang out a little bit in Philippians. We're going to talk about Paul a little bit. How many of you like Paul? Raise your hand. Apostle Paul is a great guy. I love Apostle Paul because he was crazy. He had great things that he did for God only because he depended on the Lord. And so tonight, we're going to hang out with Apostle Paul tonight a little bit, and we're going to talk about a verse that I believe this. I believe it'll strengthen you. But not only strengthen you, I believe it'll get you ready to do what God is calling you to do. How many in this room know that God has something for you? He's got a plan for you. He's got a purpose for you. And you're just waiting to get into that calling and that purpose. Just wave at me if that's you. That's most of us in here. We're all in that position. We're all in that place. And so tonight, we're going to look at the Word of God. But here's the thing. I know for some of you, including myself, that 2024 was not the greatest year. That 2024 was a tough year. Does anybody agree? Please raise your hand and say, I got you, Pastor. Most of us in here, I was talking to many individuals, even in the coffee shop, at the gym, in different places about 2024, and they're like, I don't even want to talk about 2024. But here's what I want you to know. 2024 is gone. It's no longer there anymore. 2021 is gone, 2022 is gone, and 2023 is gone. So that means 2024 is what? It's not there. And so what we need to do is this: look forward to what God has for us in 2025. I don't know about you, church, but I come with expectancy in 2025. As a matter of fact, at the very end of the year in 2024 at midnight, I felt the Lord tell me, expect big things this year. Expect big things, not just for yourself, not for me, but for the people and for you and for the church. Come on, if you believe that. And so tonight I'm going to give you a few things that I believe will help you walk into that year that you're looking for. A few things that I believe that when you came out of 2024, you're looking forward to say, man, I'm ready for 2025. And so if you go with me to Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 through 14, there's a verse there that is a very powerful verse, and the verse reminds us of great things. And let's read it together. We'll go ahead and look at it. It's on the overhead if you don't have your Bibles, but if you do, let's go there with me. And it says this: no, brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus, say focus, on this one thing, forgetting on this one thing what? Come on, one thing what? Forgetting. So what are we going to do? Forget the past and look forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach to the end of the race, woo, and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. I want to explain something to you real quick, because some of us may have an understanding of this and some of us may not. So I want to make sure you understand this. This verse in this passage, Apostle Paul is addressing believers in the church of Philippi. What he's saying is he knows there's going to be some things that were hard for them. They're going to want to look back, but he's saying you got to forget what's back there, because God wants to do something new. And when God wants to do something new, you got to forget the old and walk into the new. And so as he's explaining this and encouraging the church of Philippi, he's using this perseverance in him. Like, guys, you got to get this. Like, you can't just forget about the past. No, I really need you to forget about the past. Not, you know, just forget about it. It's all good. Yeah, you know, whatever happened, that was last year. It ain't going to happen again. But he's saying, no, forget about the past. Like, lay it dead. Whatever you were diagnosed with, forget about it. Whatever you faced, forget about it. Whatever challenge you had, forget about it. Here's why. It might still be there, but God is going to do greater things in 2025. And if you start believing that it's not there, and you believe that you push through that, and you forget about the past, you're going to see God move quick. So what he's telling them is, persevere in your faith journey. Don't stay stagnant. But here's what he really wants you to do. Strive to go deeper to connect and deeper in your connection with God. And don't stop, but keep going. Tonight I've titled my message, Don't Stop, Keep Going. Look at your neighbor and say, don't stop, keep going. No, really look at your neighbor and say, you don't stop, you keep going. I believe that's what God wants from us from 2025. You're thinking to yourself, Pastor, how am I going to keep going? Here's how. God's strength. You guys heard it this morning. If you weren't here this morning, go online and listen to it. Very good message about the vision of the church. If you don't know how you're going to get it done, I don't either. But guess what? God's strength I'm going to rely on. And his might and his power. Recently, I'm kind of embarrassed to talk about this a little bit, but I'll be transparent with you guys. Is that okay? I feel kind of weak when I talk about this, so I'm kind of like, I don't really want to do it, but I guess I'll do it. You know, recently I was working with my trainer at the gym, and there are some things that, you know, some of you have been knowing that I've been battling a fight, a sickness, and I've been pushing through it, and God's healing my body, and God's doing all these new things in it, and he's healing me, and I'm walking in the healing. But it's kind of hard sometimes to get back into where you used to be, the routine. And so I go back into the gym, and I'm thinking, oh, I got all this. I can do this weight and this and that. My nutritionist and my trainer looks at me and goes, nah, dude. He goes, bruh, you can't do that right now. And I'm like, yeah, I can. I used to do it all the time. Shoot, I did more than that. He was like, yeah, that's when you were lifting all the time, and you were healthier than you are now. So let's work your way up. Let's have this process and work through it. And so I was at the gym, and I couldn't do lunges. Yeah, y'all laughing. But I couldn't do this without holding something up because my legs and my strength and my mobility was off. But I told myself, I said, I'm not going to be weak. I'm going to be strong this year. And not just spiritually, because I'm going to be spiritually stronger than ever, but I'm going to be strong in my physical as well. And so as I'm telling myself this, my nutritionist, he's not around. And it was a time I was training on my own. I'm like, you know what? Shoot, I'm going to see if I can do it. And there's all these people in the gym, and there's a lot of people looking at me. And I'm just like, why y'all looking at me? It ain't nothing to look at. There's plenty of big people over there, right? Like, you don't got to look at me. But all of a sudden, I started doing this. And I was like, oh, my gosh. I was so excited because I didn't feel weak anymore, but I felt what? Strong. I can't look back anymore at where I was because you wouldn't believe me if I told you this, but 2 weeks ago, I wouldn't be able to do that. But I can't look back anymore and stay there. Instead, I gotta go forward. Yeah, it might have hurt. Yeah, it might have been pain. Yeah, I might have felt it the next 2 days, but that's okay. I pushed through with the strength and the power of God. And I'm here to tell you, there's things that you need to push through, church, through the strength, come on, and the power of God. Some of you are facing something now, and you need to push through. You don't need to sit anymore. You don't need to cross your arms anymore. You don't need to be in fear anymore. What you need to do is stand strong and say, God, with your power and with your strength, I'm going to push through and do what I need to do and get done what you asked me to get done. I love what Charles Spurgeon says. He says it like this. It may be hard going forward, but it's worse going back. Let me say it again because I want you to get this. It's on the overhead as well. You can take a picture. But it says it may be hard going forward. I mean, it's hard going forward at times. But it's worse to go back. Why would you want to go back when God's called us to go what? He's called us to go what? Forward. So why are we dwelling on what happened in the past when he's saying it's time to look forward? I don't want to be stuck anymore. I don't want to be in that place anymore. But instead, I want to always move forward because I know God has greater things for me forward than there is back. So tonight I'm going to give you a few things to help you move forward. Number one is this, if you're taking notes, for all you note takers, number one is this. To move forward, we must stop living in the past. Paul makes it very clear in this verse, and it's underlined up here. He says this, forgetting the what? Forgetting the what? In other words, he makes it very clear. Forget the past. Church, it's important to move on from where we're at now and to move on in our future and to move on from the past. We got to keep our eyes forward. We can't look back anymore. Thinking too much about our past can cause more issues and stop us from moving forward in life. You ever talk to that person that's like, yeah, this happened to me and this happened to me and that happened to me and I just never know if I can get out of it. Yes, you can. Here's how. Know that God has something for you forward. Know that God never called you to stay complacent and stay in the same place that you are now. Know that God said you can stay there if you want to. Why would you want to be that big baby to stay there? I don't want to do it anymore. I can't. No, man, stop saying I can't and say I can and move forward and do what God has called you to do. If you don't, here's what happens. You live in regret. I remember many years ago, when God called me into ministry and called me to pastor, I sat down with a very wise person, great man of God, and he said these words to me, Donnie, do you want your grandkids sitting on your lap one day and you looking on the TV or you looking at the church on the TV and saying, that could have been me? Or would you rather say, I did what God called me and God asked me to do? Don't you know your responses affects your generations? Your response today affects the generations behind us. You know what I love? I love when my grandkids get dressed up and they get all excited and they're going to church and they're on the little buggies. The children's workers are pushing them around in the buggies and they see their papa sitting in the youth room, waving at them, and they're saying, that's my papa, papa, papa. And the children workers stop. But here's what they realize. I'm doing what God called me to do. And so one day they're going to realize something as they're growing up in children's ministry and they're hearing the word of God and they're doing what God called them to do. They're going to realize my grandpa did what he was supposed to do. My dad did what he was supposed to do. And my mom did what he was supposed to do. So I need to do what I'm called to do because it's not just about you, but it's about generations. But if we stay looking in the past, how will we ever move forward to get the generation to move forward with us? I don't know about you, man, but I want to turn this generation around. I want to see young people come to Christ. I want to see old people come to Christ. I want to see babies come to Christ. I want to see everybody come to Christ. Why? Because God's calling us to go forward in our callings and go forward with him. So thinking too much about our past will cause us not to grow. It'll cause us to stay stuck and cause us to be hindered in our walk with God. So we got to start looking forward, church. We can't look backwards anymore. It's kind of like this. I was watching a football game the other day. If a running back was running the ball, if anyone plays football in here, you know what I'm talking about. If you're a running back and your O-line opens a hole for you to run through and you're running through looking back, you're not going to make it. But if a running back's running a ball, guess what they're doing? They're running forward. They're looking forward. They're looking for the hole, the play that they can run through that was open for them by the O-line. And once they find it, they can go through it and go forward. But if they're looking back, what's going to happen is this. They're going to begin to stumble. They're going to begin to fall. And they're not going to get the touchdown, or they're not going to get the first yards or the first down. They're not going to get what they need for the yards. Instead, they're not going to make it. And if we live our life looking back, we're not going to walk into the new. Let me say it again, because I don't think you got this. If you live your life looking back at the past, it'll be hard for you to move into the new. See, God don't want to give you the new until you can learn to get over the past. There's a lot of things in our life that we got to push through, and a lot of things we got to get through in order to receive what God wants to do in our life. Some of us have been holding on to unforgiveness too long. Some of us have been bitter too long. And God's saying, all I need you to do is release it. All I need you to do is free it. And when you release it and you free it to me, here's what I can do. I can now drop my forgiveness on you and move you forward in life. But you got to receive it as well. In the Old Testament, Isaiah speaks to the nation of Israel, encouraging them during a very difficult time. The Israelites were facing challenges and struggles. And listen, he was reminding them that God was about to do something new. God is about to do something what? New. I submit to you tonight this. God is going to do something new this year. Expect miracles. Expect healing. Expect deliverance. Expect salvation. Expect wayward kids to come back to the kingdom of God. They're no longer going to be lost. Expect new things. Why? Because God wants to do a new thing in you, in this church, in the people of God this year. So expect it. Have an expectancy in your heart. Don't walk into it like, well, if it happens, it happens. Come on, anybody know what I'm talking about?
Well, I guess if God wants to do it, he'll do it.
No. Sometimes we can say, you know what, God, you're going to do it. And I'm expecting you to do it. And I'm expecting you to move. And I'm expecting you to heal me. And I'm expecting my wayward child to come back to the Lord. I'm expecting these things. I don't want to stay here anymore. But I'm expecting it. I believe there's going to be jobs opening for people. I believe people are not going to see jobs, but they're going to receive things they've never expected before. I believe God wants to do a new thing in your life. Look at your neighbor and say, God's going to do something new. And if you don't want it, I'll take all of it. But he says this in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 18 through 19. He says it like this: but forget all that is nothing compared to what I'm going to do. Hold on, I got to read that again. That excites me. Forget all. Say, forget all. That is nothing compared to what I am going to do. For I am about to do something new. See, I have already begun. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, he already begun. Look at your other and say, I believe he's begun. Next part of the verse says this. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness, and I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. Here, write this down if you're taking notes. Letting go of the past makes room for God to do something new in your life. Let me say it one more time, because I'm not sure if they got that one up there, but that's okay. I'll say it again. I'll say it slow. Letting go of the past makes room for God to do something new in our lives. A lot of us still been wondering why God hasn't done something new in our life. A lot of us say, I've gone to church every day. I go to church twice a week. I go to church every time the doors are open, but yet God hasn't done something new. Pastor, why hasn't God something new? Maybe because you're still holding on to something from the past, and God's been bugging in you and telling you, hey, let this go, let this go, let this go. You haven't dared try to let it go, but when you do let it go, you're now making room for God to do something new in your life. But it's hard to let go. I'm not saying it's not hard. It is very hard. But don't you think Jesus faced a lot of hard situations? Don't you think others in the Word of God faced hard situations? There are many people, but here's the thing. They did what they knew the Father wanted them to do. And when they did, guess what happened? They received what the Father wanted to give. And so when you get to a place in your life and you feel like, I can't forgive this person, you don't know what they did to me, Pastor. You don't know how bad they hurt me. I don't know. But did they spit on you? Did they cut you? Did they throw you on a cross? Did they burn you upside down? I mean, let's talk about this for a moment. Did they do those things? No, you're still sitting here in a chair. So you can forgive if God calls us to forgive. And if you want to see what God has for you in your future, then you got to let go of some of these things you've been holding on to. Guys, in my own life, I've held on to things. In my own life, I've faced some stuff. In my own life, I had a hard time with forgiveness. In my own life, I had a hard time forgiving God. I blamed everything on God. Why isn't this working? It's your fault. But then one day, the Lord spoke to me. And it opened my eyes to something new. And when I got that revelation that I've given you and I want you to receive my love all you want. And when I actually received his love, I realized something. I don't got to hold on to this baggage. I don't got to hold on to this hurt. I don't got to hold on to pain anymore. Instead, I received his love. And when I received his love, all that stuff just went. Whew. And then I started walking in the blessings of God. So here's how you can fix this. You want to know? Here's how you can fix it. You ready? No. Are you ready? Here's how you can fix it. Examine your life. If there's any baggage holding you back, is it guilt? Is it regret? Is it unforgiveness? Is it you even being complacency from their past achievements? Here's what I want to say to you. Offer these things to God. Asking him for freedom and grace to move beyond you and get in your way and get things out of the way of you and heal your mind, set you free. And here's another one. I'm going to do a little plug-in for a ministry here. Get signed up for Breaking Free. Because if you're dealing with any of those things, or you just want a way of getting closer to God, let go of the past. Stop pulling the past with you. See, here's what we do even as Christians. Can I be honest with you? Is it okay? Save. We go to church. We listen to messages. But we drag. You know what we're dragging? We're dragging the stuff that God told us to let go of. So if we're dragging, it takes longer to get to that destination that God's called you to get to. If I'm dragging, it's going to take me longer to get across. But if I let these things go and I forget about this past and I move these things off like God does, sets us free and heals our mind and delivers us, then guess what? I'm walking. And I'm not dragging anymore. And I'm staying focused on where God wants to take me. And what God wants to do. Talking about moving forward tonight. To move forward tonight, we must, number two is this, for note takers is this. Start believing for what's ahead. We talk about what's ahead. We share about what's ahead. We preach about what's ahead, but we don't believe about what's ahead. Can I change our thinking for a moment? Can I challenge the church for a moment? Let me challenge everybody in here for a moment, including myself. Let me challenge this. Here's what I want you to do. Stop thinking about these things and just do what God says. Just do what God says. Start believing for what he wants to do in your life for moving forward. There's no reason to not believe. Come on. There's no reason for you to waver back and forth in your unbelief and belief. See, when we do that, we trip ourselves up. And when we trip ourselves up, we allow the enemy a door and a gateway into our life. We allow him to put thoughts in our mind. We allow him to put thoughts around us. We allow him to use people to offend us. Allow him to use people to hurt us. But here's the thing. We don't need to go there. Instead, we can start believing what God has for us ahead. I love it because Apostle Paul is so clear about it in the passage, in the scripture. He said this, looking forward to what lies what? Ahead. So he's not only expecting, but he's looking forward to what God wants to do. And I believe this, we're coming out of a year that's been a tough year for some of us. Some of you are like, I got blessed this year, praise God. But others of us is like, no, we had to fight this year. We got diagnoses this year. We had tests this year. We had challenges this year. And I believe we're coming out of a year of these things, but I believe God is saying, start believing for what I want to do in this next year. You know, it's not by coincidence that the Holy Spirit speaks to our pastor and says, give the word strength to the church. I don't know about you guys, but if I could be real, Pastor Dan, when he said grace last year, I was like, and this year when our pastoral team, he's like, strength? I didn't feel that. Here's what I felt. Whatever it is that God wants us to get accomplished in our life this year, he's going to give us the strength to get it done. You may not see it with your own eyes, and that's okay. You don't need to see it. But whatever God wants to do in your life, whatever God wants you to walk through, whatever God allows you to go through, whatever allows you to walk into, here's the thing, he's going to give you strength to get through it. So don't look at it as like, oh, I got to do this. No, look at it as like, God, thank you that I'm doing this. And thank you, you're giving me the strength to get through what I'm going through. Apostle Paul makes it very clear about looking forward, what lies ahead. He reminds believers of this. When we look forward, God's going to do good things, things that he's planned for our life. I love what C.S. Lewis says. He says it like this. He says, you can't go back and change the beginning, but you can start where you are and change the ending. By letting go of the past, letting go of the past, get it? Letting go of the past and looking forward, you are allowing God to rewrite your story and change the ending that was planned before. But there's something you got to do to be a part of that. There's something you got to do. You got to let go of some things in order for God to rewrite that story. And when he rewrites that story, here's what's going to happen. It's going to change your life forever. You're not going to want to look back. I don't know about you, but one year I went on a vacation with my wife and a couple friends, and we went to Hawaii. And I think Hawaii is a beautiful place. I think it's amazing there. I think it's awesome. But my idea of vacationing is chilling in a hotel, walking the beach, going out to eat, having a good time, relaxing. Anybody know what I'm talking about? But the couple we went with, man, they had excursion after excursion after excursion. And one of the ones that they had was great. It was like, we're going to go on a boat and do nothing and just see where Jurassic Park was developed, see where the dinosaurs were coming out of, like all these cool things that we're going to do. But the other one that we did was very tough. And they decided we're going to go hiking. And of course, me being like, oh, I've never been hiking before. You know, I've gone to youth camp and I've walked the hills, but that ain't hiking. I learned real fast. And after going on that hike, I don't know if I'm a hiker. And I know you're like, well, Pastor, that was in Hawaii. It's different here. No. I don't think you get it. I don't know if I'm a hiker. But I know this. As we were hiking, it just kept getting more steep, more steep, more steep. And there was this one part that was real narrow. Anybody have been hiking before? Raise your hand. Okay, you know what I mean. You might know what I'm talking about. But you ever been in a part where it's real narrow, and then there's nothing but thousands and thousands of fall with this cliff? I'm like, bro, I ain't going over there. They're like, well, you have to get to the other side. I'm like, oh, I'm not going over there. Like, it ain't going to happen. And so I'm like, well, I'm walking like this. And a guy's coming my way. I'm like, no, you got to move, bro. Like, get out. I was here first. Move it. This is my road. And I'm walking. And all of a sudden, I don't want to look back. Because something I realized, we're pretty high. I'm having a hard time breathing. And the guy I was with is complaining about his knees. And the two wives were just flying up the hill. And I'm like, bro, just keep going straight. I ain't looking back. Don't look back. Just keep going. And I got to a place where it's like, I'm not ever going to look back at this. I don't want to look back. I looked back at the vacation and said, that vacation was great. I love Hawaii. I would love to go to Hawaii again. But I don't know if I'd go hiking again. And if I did, I don't think I'm going to go on that kind of a trail. And supposedly, we didn't even go on the hardest trail. They said that was the beginner trail. I'm like, you're lying. Satan, that's a lie. But I knew something. If I had focused on behind me in my hike, I would have lost my momentum to go forward. See, I realized as much work as it took to get up that hill, as bad as I could barely breathe, and my heart was beating so fast. Like, when I say beating, you know how you feel your heart in your chest sometimes and you're nervous? Anybody know what I'm talking about? But when it's beating double hard, you're like, am I going to die? You know, that's how I felt. And my friends go, oh, my knees. And then he had to sit down a couple times. I wasn't going to look back, because here's the thing. I don't want to lose momentum going forward. I wanted to finish that trail, get done, and go eat all the pizza that we wanted at that time. If I would have looked back, I would have lost my strength and lost my momentum. So I decided I'm going to look forward so I can gain my strength and keep my momentum and keep going forward. To move forward this year, there's some things that we're going to do, guys. Church, there's some things we're going to do. I'm going to challenge all of us, including myself. I, whatever I preach and say to you, I challenge myself with it. But here's what I want to challenge you to do. Pray more. Write these down. Pray more. You're like, Pastor, I pray all the time. Good, pray more. Fast more. Pastor, I don't like to fast. Oh, well, fast more. Get into the presence of God more. Allow yourself to get into the presence of God. It's okay. Listen, guys, it's okay if you cry in church. It's called the Spirit of God is hitting you. You don't got to be like, I'm like, give me the tissue box. Because I can't hold back what the presence of God wants to do. And sometimes it's in the presence of God where the fulfillment of your life is going to be touched. It's in the presence of God where healing comes. It's in the presence of God where you begin to pray for people you never thought you would pray for. It's in the presence of God where God begins to speak to you, where God begins to give you dreams. It's in his presence where all things that he's been speaking have come to pass in his presence. So why would we not want to get into the presence this year? Let's get more into his presence this year. Here's another one we could do. Start believing God for great things. Start believing God for great things. I love in the book of Jeremiah, I love the prophet Jeremiah. He's writing to the Israelites who had been taken into captivity in Babylon for quite some time. And he reassures them of God's plan because they were in exile. They were in a tough situation. They were in a hard circumstance. And the current circumstance they were in, he still reassures them. And in Jeremiah 29:11, it says it like this. It says, for I know, say I know, the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans, say plans, for good, say good, and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. See, this verse reminds us of God's faithfulness. In our life, it encourages us to trust in his plans and offers hope for our future. So in order to receive the hope for our future, let's let go of what's bothering us in the past. Let's stop holding on to the past and say, God, I don't want the past anymore. Help me get through it. Help me walk through this stuff. Help me forgive. Help me release. Help me get out of bitterness. God, help me walk through this stuff so I can receive that future and hope you have for me. Because I believe his future and hope is more greater than what you're ever expecting in your life. His hope and his future outdoes your future and outdoes your hope. And when you learn to lean on the hope and the future that God has for you, and you put in that natural, God shows up with that supernatural, and now that supernatural becomes something wonderful, and God puts you into a place and a plan of your life that he's called you from before you were formed in your mother's womb, that he knew you, and he now put you in a plan and a purpose and destiny that he had for you because you believed that God could do that in your life. You did what? You believe. Say, believe. Believe. So this verse reminds us of God's faithfulness. So I want to remind you of this. Next time you feel like you don't have a plan, next time you feel like God's not speaking to you, next time you feel like there's no call in your life, next time you feel like you can't do anything because of your past or because of your family or because no one's ever accomplished anything in your family, here's the thing, break those things off and walk into the plan that God has for your life. Come on, church, if you believe that tonight. Which leads me to my last point tonight is this, to move forward, we must never quit and finish well. The final part of this passage, Paul says something. He says, I press on to reach the end of the race. If he says, I press on, guess what? That means he had to press in. In order for you to finish the race that God has called you, in order for you to finish what God has started in your life, you're going to have to press in at times. I wish I could say, you don't got to press in. It's all good. It's easy. No, you got to fight. You got to press in. You're going to go through things, but you got to know that you can't quit because God's called us to finish well. Paul actually expresses determination and focus on moving forward in that verse. In his pursuit, knowing Christ and fulfilling his calling. He encouraged believers like you and I. He encouraged us to remain steadfast and committed to your faith. Don't waver in it. Don't let the winds of doctrine move you away from what you believe. Don't let other people get you convinced to believe something different. Instead, be rooted and grounded in God's word. Be rooted and grounded in God's love. Be rooted and grounded in God's grace. Be rooted and grounded in what God wants to do. And be rooted and grounded in your faith and believe what God says. Because his word is the truth. Looking ahead to the ultimate prize and purpose of their life in Christ rather than reflecting on their past obstacles. Some of us reflect too much on our past obstacles. And we need to look forward now. I want to commit something to you. I want you to submit something to your own life. Is that you're going to make a word clear in your heart in 2025 that you're going to do all you can not to look back. But instead, you're going to press forward. And you're going to rely on God's strength and his ability to do what he's called you to do and what he's asking for you to do in your life for 2025. Come on, church, if you believe you can do that tonight, let Jesus know. One of the greatest basketball players, and I would say the greatest basketball players, was Michael Jordan. Some of y'all just gave me a side eye like, That's my belief. Okay, it's not always right. Okay. But he's one of the greatest basketball players. Despite facing numerous challenges and setbacks in his career, like being cut from high school basketball team, but he persevered and he worked hard to become the legend that he was. His resilience, his determination, and his relentlessness worked. Hard work allowed him to overcome adversities and achieve great success. It was not a sprint for him, but a marathon. Let me say it again. It wasn't a sprint for him, but it was a marathon. The Christian life is similar to this. It's not a sprint for us. It's a marathon. It requires perseverance. It requires faithfulness. And it requires God's strength to come on your behalf to get the job done for what God is calling you to do. This year, let us continue to press on and rely on his strength. In all situations and all circumstances, let's commit being faithful in our prayer time, studying the word, serving others, volunteering in ministries, building each other up, not tearing each other down, and building God's kingdom. Let's make that priority this year in 2025. Church, let's remember there's a prize for an upward call in Jesus Christ. And if we want to receive that prize for that upward call, we're going to have to let go of the past, move forward, and believe that God wants to give it to us in 2025. Come on, somebody, believe that tonight. I love what it says in 2 Timothy 4:7. It says this: I have fought, say fought, the good fight, and I have finished the race, say finished the race, and I have remained faithful. You're going to have to fight in order to finish. And you're going to have to remain faithful to what God is asking you and calling you to do. Let me give you some practical steps, and as I close with this tonight, let me give you some practical steps. Number one is this: reflect on past experiences. Spend time considering past experiences and challenges. Identify what you've learned from them and how they shaped who you are today. Let go of past mistakes. Acknowledge any past mistake or regret and practice self-forgiveness, remembering that dwelling on them can hold you back from moving forward. Embrace challenges. Accept the challenges and obstacles as opportunities for growth. View them and step in your journey towards achieving your goals. The last one is this: keep faith. Strengthen your spiritual well-being through prayer, meditation of his word, reflection of his word on your values and beliefs. Use your faith as a source of motivation and guidance for your life. Church, together, let's do something. Let's press forward. Leaving the past behind, believing in what God has for us, and finishing our race well. This year in 2025, let's be strengthened in the power of the Lord and in his might. If you guys got something from Jesus, let's give God a praise. I'd like to pray for you real quick before I pass it over to Pastor Joel. But maybe you're in this room tonight. You say, Pastor, I want to receive that strength tonight. I know I'm already facing some stuff in 2025, but I want to receive that strength that you're talking about. I want to receive that strength that was a vision word for the church this year. I don't know how I'm going to get through what I'm going through. And I don't know how I'm going to get through this year. But I know with this strength, it's possible. If that's you, can you do me a favor? Just raise your hand. I'd like to pray for you tonight. All over this room, just raise your hand. Thank you. Hands are going up everywhere. All over. all over. Just keep raising them. Give it a few more moments. If that's you, just raise your hand. Say, Pastor, I want you to pray for me. I need that strength. I'm already facing stuff. I left 2024 and it wasn't good. And I'm walking into 2025 and I feel the same. If that's you, just raise your hand all over this place. Father, I thank you right now in the mighty name of Jesus for your church. I thank you, Lord, for all those in this room, God, that you see, God, that you know by name, God. I pray this year, Father God, that they would receive that strength, God, that they're asking you for. I pray even right now that the Holy Spirit would deposit to them the strength, God, that you give to them, Father. God, they're facing stuff. They're facing issues. They're facing diagnosis. They're facing challenges. They might be facing job situations. They might be facing home situations. They might be facing marriage situations. But Lord, right now, in the name of Jesus, God, as you see your people in this place, God, that have raised their hand that says they need your strength, I pray right now in your name, God, that your strength, God, would be full in them, Father God, that your strength, God, would fall on them, God, that your strength, God, would push them through, God, that your strength, God, would show up powerfully, God, in their life, Lord. And Father, I pray this, God, that they would rely on your strength this year. In Jesus' name, amen.
So good, so good. Don't stop. Keep on moving forward. How many got a word from the Lord today? Powerful word. Great job, Pastor Donnie. Great job. Great job. How many are ready to give tonight? You know, because of your giving, it's not on the card, but because of your giving, the lights were on when everything was off. Because of you sowing seed in this house, we kept the gospel preached, momentum in the house going, and the lights lit because of your personal self-sacrifice and your investment into the kingdom. So give yourselves a hand for doing that. Praise God. Praise God. I have a scripture here. The teaching verse is this, Psalms 65:11. You crown the year, let's personalize it. You crown this year with your goodness and your past drip with abundance. The Hebrew text says it this, your path is overflowing like rivers of living water over me, and it's constant. That's giving. And that sowing where God produces the supernatural fruit and growth in your life and supernatural financial breakthrough. How many need that this year? How many need that this year? So that's where we put our faith forward and say, God, you know, I'm not gonna ramp it down. I'm gonna ramp it up because I need some stuff done in your kingdom. We need some stuff done. This is the year of strength. We don't need less. We need more. We need more supernatural blessings to come to this house, and you're that catalyst that makes that happen. Behind me, there are many, many ways to give. If you want a text to give, or if you want to scan the QR code or just download the app, it's the easiest way to do it. Rest assured that your giving is secure, and rest assured your giving makes impact all over. Pastor Dan announced this morning service that we are actually going to be sowing seed into the areas that have been hurt the most with area churches that are around that are benevolently opening up their church doors and their goodness and finance and their distributions to us. They're a catalyst to bringing healing to LA because LA needs Jesus like San Bernardino needs Jesus, and you're a catalyst to do it. So you're giving, if you want to earmark that giving, it's text to give. I don't remember, what was that? Aid. Text aid on your text to give and put aid on there, and I'll earmark to that if you want to give to that. Also, if you are in this house and you're in need of an envelope, our ushers are standing by right now. If you need to write a personal check or cash, or you want to write out your credit card information, an envelope is out, or your seat back's in front of you, or just do tap to give, which is the easy way to do it. Get out your phone, and there's a little icon in your seat, and you hit that, it will take you to the giving section, and you could set up your giving that way. I want to pray for those that are online and on campus of all our giving this weekend. Father God, I thank you, Lord, that we're asking for more and more and more, and you're going to give us the strength to do it. I pray for every believer that has sowed seed in this house. We obviously have seen, because we're a church of benevolence and generosity. We're out there feeding people, clothing people. Father, we say yes to bringing resource to where people need it the most. We have thousands of testimonies, Lord, of those that are coming in desperate need, and we don't turn them away. And you show up in bountiful ways, because this is a generous house. So you make us generous people. Father God, you challenge our giving, that we don't withhold, but we give to you the supernatural gift that will be compounded on our behalf. And I pray, Father, for every sower and every seed sown. And I pray you show up in beautiful ways this week, that they get things in the mail, that they get open up the windows of heaven, they gift them. Like I heard a testimony today, I was asking for a raise and I got more than I expected. Father God, that's your giving house. And I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand for that. I have a few announcements. TRBC registration is open as we speak. If you need to know more of the Word of God, you want to plug in, you want to do what Pastor Donnie was saying, to let the past go, you need the Word of God in you to be able to do that. Also, we're starting anger management. I say it this way. We don't help you manage your anger. We help you to get rid of it. Because the anger coaches that are certified court-ordered, that's the kind of coaches we have here. You can literally come from the courthouse and come to our campus and get a certified anger coach in front of you. That coach happens to be a believer who will preach the gospel to you and say the root of your anger is lies in forgiveness and letting go, like Pastor Donnie taught, and you can get rid of your anger and you don't have to hold it anymore. And they'll probably lead you to Christ in that, you know, session of anger management. Happens all the time. Also, Women Rock AM this coming week. It's coming Thursday, 9:30, Youth Auditorium, and PM is showing up following week, okay? And also Rock Young Adults, right? Rock Young Adults, if you're a young adult here, Rock Young Adults is for you this Friday. I have a couple of videos, and Pastor Donnie has something else to share with you, so don't leave. I'm going to do a shameless plug for Breaking Free. Pastor Donnie mentioned it. Here's what Breaking Free isn't. It's not therapy. It's not therapy. It's not 12-step. It gives you the one step to find a God encounter where God can set you free supernaturally. Like the first lesson that we teach, we launch out of Hebrews chapter 12, where it says, strip off everything that holds you and fix your focus on Jesus. You want to be free? Plug in. Plug in to let Jesus freeing you and the Holy Spirit revealing and healing you all those past issues so you can be a free person and you could have intentionality and freedom your whole life, and your children will call you blessed. Plug into it. Check out the videos for upcoming events. God bless you.
Hi, my name is Paola, and I wanted to share with you my experience with Breaking Free. When I came to Breaking Free, I didn't realize how much trauma I had within me and generational curses that were in my family. And when I came in, I started talking about abuse, domestic violence, things that had happened in my past that were actually hurting my marriage with my husband because he couldn't relate to me and we wouldn't talk about it. But Breaking Free helped me open up those traumas and was able to express to him the things that were going on with me. So I invite you to come to Breaking Free and benefit from that. When it helps your marriage and it helps your family break those curses, that is an amazing process.
Yeah, my name is Kasten. Breaking Free was a unique experience for me. I came with a certain expectation of what was going to happen. Once I started doing the work, meeting with the mentor, and trusting God to do the work on me, he was able to reveal things that I was dealing with that I didn't even realize. But trusting the process and trusting God, I was able to break free of it all and, you know, came out of there better. Come with an open heart and just do the work and trust the process.
join us at our Volunteer Expo and experience the joy of connecting with various ministries. Together, let's build God's kingdom by serving and loving others. Your presence makes a difference.
A lot of great things going on in this church, Breaking Free, Volunteer Expo. A lot of great things that are going on. Don't you believe you have a great church? You guys have been very well. I hope you received the message tonight. I hope the Lord spoke to you. I hope God showed you some things in your life that you got to let go of so you can receive the new things. But tonight I want to do something before I dismiss you guys. I want to make sure that every one of you in this room have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Here's why. If we don't have a personal relationship with Jesus, and if he came back tonight, or if we got out of our chair tonight, we walked out these doors, we got in a car accident, or we ended up in the hospital, or we just ended up in a tragic place, and a tragedy took place, and we end up dying. If we didn't have a relationship with Jesus, here's what's going to happen. You're not going to make it to heaven. I love you enough to tell you the truth, and I got to be honest with you. Being a good person doesn't get you to heaven. Going to church doesn't get you to heaven. Showing up on Sundays, showing up on Wednesdays, and coming on Sunday night does not give you a ticket and give you a place into heaven. And a lot of times we've been taught differently. We believe because we go to church. We believe because we're a good person. We believe because we've never done things wrong in our life and we've tried to do the best that we can. But listen, that is not true. There's only one way into heaven, is that's by you receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and your personal Savior. And so tonight, before I dismiss everybody in this room, I want to make sure that you've all had this opportunity before. As a matter of fact, tonight I'm going to give you the greatest invitation that you will ever receive in your life, and that's to receive Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior. You might be saying to yourself, Pastor, I've heard this before. Pastor, I've gone to church many times. Pastor, at one time I gave my life to Jesus, and now I'm just living and doing what I want. Listen, you got to be sold out, fully committed to the things of God, and to giving your heart to Jesus. There's no in-between here. Let me frame this for you real quick. Let me show you two different pictures, because we're in a world and we're in a generation where we like to see things. Tonight you sat in church, you heard a great message about letting go of things, moving forward, and don't stop and keep going, and allowing God to take you to your next place, and allowing God to move you into new areas, and letting go of the stuff that's hindering you. You heard the message, you heard a powerful worship. You saw God move mighty in beginning a service and heal people and set people free. You saw him move, you saw him in action, you were here, you sat here, and pastor came up and said, if you've never received Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to count to three, go one, two, three, bang like this. And if you've never received him, I want you to raise your hand. But here's the picture. You experienced all these things. You even got touched when you saw people getting free and prayed for. But you decided, no, I'm not going to raise my hand. Because if I raise my hand, I might be embarrassed. What if tonight you walked out of this place, and I'm not wishing this on nobody, I'm not speaking this on nobody, I'm bringing reality to us. But what if tonight you got up out of your chair, you walked out of these doors, you got in your car, you drove down Waterman, and some speed racer came and swiped your car, and you end up dead, and you stood before Jesus, and he said these words to you. Do you remember that loudmouth preacher? Uh-huh. Do you remember when he said he's going to give you the greatest invitation of your life to receive me as your Lord and personal Savior? And tonight you didn't respond. Matter of fact, you said, I don't need to. Because you didn't respond to say, I'll receive you. He says, depart from me. I never knew who you were. And you don't enter into the kingdom of heaven. Or what if it was like this? Tonight you went to church, saw God move, had powerful worship, listened to the message, heard the announcements, did the tithes and offering. Pastor Donnie came up and said, if you want to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, he's going to count to three, one, two, three, bang, go like this. And all of a sudden you raise your hand. And tonight you walked out of this room and an earthquake hit Southern California and wiped Southern California out, and you were part of it, we were part of it, and you stood before Jesus tonight and he said these words to you. Do you remember when you were in a church? You're like, yeah, I remember, I was there. Do you remember a loudmouth preacher? You're like, yes, I remember him. Do you remember when he said 1, 2, 3, bang like this, and you raise your hand and receive me as your Lord and personal Savior? Because you receive me, I can receive you into my kingdom. And he says, well done, good and faithful servant. Welcome to the kingdom of heaven forever. So my question to you is this tonight. Do you want to be in picture number one? Or do you want to be in picture number two? So here's how it's going to work. Is I'm going to count to three. I'm going to go 1, 2, 3, bang, just like this. When you hear me go bang, like that. If you're in this room, you've never received Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior. You never gave your heart to him tonight. When I count to three and go bang, all I want you to do is pop your hand up right where you're at. If you're in this room, you've never received him. You're saying, I don't want to raise my hand. What if I raise my hand? I'm embarrassed. Listen, you might be embarrassed for a moment, but here's the thing. The Bible says this, if you confess me before men, then I'll confess you for the Father. But if you deny me, then I'll deny you. Confession is a pop of a hand. It's up to you tonight. Whether you want to receive him as your Lord and personal Savior. Whether you want to be in picture one or picture two. It's your choice, your call. And you might be thinking to yourself, well, Pastor, I did this a long time ago. And I just, you know, I don't know if I can do it. Yeah, you can. You can rededicate your life. It's okay. You can rededicate your life. And let go of those things and move forward with what Christ has for you. So tonight, from the front to the back to the side, if that's you tonight, and you know that you need to get right with God, or you've never given your heart and your life to Jesus, tonight when I count to three, I want you to pop your hand up. If you're in this room and you're saying, well, you know, I've done this before, but I became lukewarm, a little in, a little out. Listen, you got to be fully in. You can't waver back and forth. You can't have one foot in the world, one foot in God. You can't be back and forth, back and forth. Bible says, when I come back, I'm going to find you hot or cold in Revelations chapter 3. And he's speaking to the churches, meaning there's people in the church, and he knew there's going to be people in the church. And he says, when I come back, I'm going to find you hot or cold. Because if I find you lukewarm, I will vomit you from my mouth. No, you're not going to make it. So it's your choice, your call tonight. So who should do this tonight? If you've never given Jesus your whole life, your whole heart. Who else should do this tonight? If you want to come to a place and say, I want to rededicate my life and get right with God. And who else should do this tonight? If you know you've been living a lukewarm life and you're tired of playing games and you're ready to come back to the kingdom of God, it's your choice, your call on three. 1, 2, 3, bang. Anybody in this room? Thank you. 1, 2, 3, 4. Help me out here. 5, 6, 7. Help me out. I can't. 7 wise people. I think I got you. 8. Any more? Just pop your hand up right where you're at. I won't embarrass you where you're pointing somewhere. Isaac, where are you pointing at? Okay. I believe you. 9. Anymore, just pop your hand up all over this place. You're pointing somewhere. 10. Where are you pointing at? Show me. Okay. Got you. I got them. 10 wise people. Is there any more? Pop your hand up all over this place. I didn't embarrass them. I won't embarrass you, but this is your call. It's your choice tonight. Got you. 11. Anymore, just I got you. 12. 12 wise people. Is there any more? If that's you, just pop your hand up right where you're at. It's nothing to be afraid of. You guys are pointing somewhere. 12. 13. I got you. Thank you, brother. 13 wise people. Is there any more? Just pop your hand up all over this room. That's you. 14, got you. Any more? You're pointing somewhere. 15. Oh, I see you right there. 15, got you. 16, got you. I got you. 16 wise people, is there any more? Just pop your hand up all over this place. Give it a few more moments because the Spirit of God is moving and he's speaking to your heart. If there's any more, if you're in this room, you're like, I wish this guy would shut up. That's you. If you're in this room, think about where you're going to eat. Maybe get right with God first. 15 wise people, 16 wise people, is there any more? That's you. Just pop your hand up. Any more, just pop your hand up all over this room. Is there any more over here? I'm going to do one last sweep. I'm going to start on this side over here. If there's anyone over here, just pop your hand up. Don't miss your call. Don't miss your destiny. Is there any more right in here? Just pop your hand up. Help me out if you see them. Is there any more in this section right here? If there's any more. All right, I got everybody. 16 wise people. Come on, let's give it up for Jesus today. Here's what I like to do is this. Is I like everyone to stand to their feet with me. all 16 of you that said tonight you want to give your life and your heart to Jesus, and you were serious about this, and you're like, you know what, I'm going to be bold enough, and I'm going to take this step forward. Here's what I want to do, is I would invite you to come forward so we can pray with you, and we can explain some things to you. But if that's you, come on forward, grab a friend, grab your neighbor, grab your purses, grab your things, come on forward, come on church, let's give them a hand.
Oh, come to the altar.
If there's any more, just come on forward, just come on. They're coming, they're coming. Come on, they're coming, they're coming. If that's you, come on, they're coming. Give them a hand, guys. They're still working their way down, come on. Come on, if that's you in the back, I saw your hand, come on down, let's go. If you're serious about this, let's go. This is not the time to leave service. If that's you, come on, let's go. Come on, if there's more, come on. Come on down, guys, come on, make room, let's go. Come on down. Come on down, guys. Come on, guys. Come on. Thank you. Come on. There's more. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on, church. We're not done yet. Come on. Come on. There's more. Come on out. Come on. Come on down to this altar. Let's receive Jesus. That's you. Come on down. Come on down. Is there any more? Come on. All right. Put a smile on your face. Y'all look good. Today you're making a big choice to change your destiny. At one point, you're on your path to hell. And tonight, you're reversing that. Tonight, you're letting go of these things. And you're receiving Christ as your Lord and personal Savior. Now we're put on a path to go towards heaven. But here's what we're going to do first is this. Is we're going to say a prayer. Because we made our confession. We raised our hand. And we said, I want to receive Jesus as my Lord and personal Savior. But tonight, we're going to say a prayer. We're going to invite Jesus into our heart. Here's what I want you guys to do with me is I want you to repeat this prayer after me. Please, if you miss a word, do not feel like you're not going to make it because you miss a word. It's about your heart. So tonight, as we say this prayer, let's invite Jesus into our heart, into our life. Let's make that change. Because here's what I believe. I believe God has great things for all of you this coming year. Some of you are having a hard time believing that, but what I was talking about, my message, you got to start believing. Watch what God does, okay? So let's say this, repeat this after me. Father God, I thank you for the opportunity that I have to give my life and my heart to you. Jesus, tonight, I ask that you come in my heart. Forgive me for all my sins. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Jesus, I believe that you died and you rose again from the dead. Tonight, I commit to leave all the things behind and move forward in you, Christ. Holy Spirit, empower me, fill me up, give me the strength to live the Christian life that you've called me to live. In Jesus' name, we all said, amen. Come on, let's give God a praise. I have a friend over here. His name is Pastor Joel. He's waving at you guys. Listen, man, nothing's weird. It's going to go on. Nothing crazy. He's a great guy. If you can, just turn, follow him. He has some information he wants to give you. We have a discipleship here, program here called SPT. You're wondering, what is that? Spiritual personal trainer. Anyone ever had a personal trainer before or would like to have a personal trainer? You have. You look pretty big, right? So if you had a personal trainer, they teach you how to lift. They teach you how to spot. They teach you different things. Same thing when you walk with Christ. We don't want to throw you out there without somebody to come alongside of you for 5 weeks to teach you basic things. Because here's the thing. The minute you step out there, the devil's going to say, what you did tonight wasn't real. What he was saying tonight when you were praying wasn't real. If not, he's already trying to do it. You say, devil, go back to hell where you belong, and I'm moving forward with Jesus. So come on, guys, let's give God a praise. Go ahead and follow Pastor Joel, and he'll explain the rest to you. Well, church, thank you for tonight. Have a blessed night. I'd like to pray over a blessing over you guys. Thank you, God. God has given us the strength to push through. That God has given us the strength to get through the things. That he's given us strength to let go and to move forward. So I'd like to pronounce a blessing over you. Father, I thank you right now for all the saints of God, Father. I bless them coming. I bless them going. And everything, God, they put their hands to. Lord, that it would prosper. And Lord, with a great big shout, we say that the Inland Empire shall be saved.
Hi, my name is Pastor Joel. Hey, this is my question for you. Now that you've committed to Jesus Christ, how are you going to grow? We at The Rock want to help you out. We have an online resource called Welcome to Your Destiny. It is your next step to grow. Our mission here at The Rock is to help you grow into Jesus Christ. The Bible says to grow into all aspects of Him. As you read this little book, it's going to tell you what to do and how to do it. We encourage you, if you're ever in the area, please plug into one of our services and connect with one of our SPTs. We call them spiritual personal trainers to help you grow, to plug into this new family that you're now a part of. Our goal and God's goal is to see you fit, healthy, and mature in Jesus Christ. So welcome to the family of God, and God bless you.